Good evening, church family. This is Wednesday, May the 6th, and our midweek time in the Word. Hope you're doing well. And if you want to get your Bibles out right away, I'll put some scriptures on the screen for you. But there is value in you looking them up and seeing them in the Word. There's value if you want to pause and to look at some scriptures before you move on. Grab your Bible, and I'll eventually take you to some scripture here this evening. I'm going to continue what's developed into a short series, and you'll see the title of it being Four Statements Jesus Makes in Times of Trial, Tribulation, Suffering, Hardship, and Difficulty. I've given you two of those already. See, number one, he says to me, I want you to look at me. Keep our attention, our focus, keep our eyes on him. In some ways, the passage in Matthew with Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water, was also a carry through from that idea. I want you to keep looking at me. Secondly, I want you to flee to me. That's an active fleeing. Obviously, there's a mental aspect to that. There's a there's an action of my will where I flee to him. And then our subject today, or our statement today, is I want you to trust me. Of course, we'll carry through with the next one on the following week. So if you have your Bibles out, I want to take you to a psalm to begin with. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Follow on your screen if you want, or in your Bible. Here's what that says. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Just a slight note with that. If you see the idea of trusting and fear are contradictory, they're, if I trust the Lord, I will not fear. Something to note in your thoughts as we move along. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I think with that, you see the idea that if I will trust in the Lord, what I'll end up doing is pouring out my heart before him. And so we see this idea, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Interesting concept. The perfect peace is linked to my trusting in the Lord. There's a few things that we'll deal with, some more scriptures coming up shortly. But let me draw your attention once again to the slide. And that is if Jesus says to me, I want you to trust me, one of the things we need to understand or have an idea of is what does it mean to trust God in the midst of trial? Right, so that's really what I'm going to talk about is what does it mean to trust God in the midst of trial? Some other questions. What do I really mean when I say I'm trusting God in this? Right? You might hear that. You might have said that. Sometimes it goes beyond us. So we say, I'm just trusting God in these things. Well, we ask these questions. In what way am I trusting him? What evidence is there that that trust exists? I mean, are they just words? It needs to be more than just words, but are they just words? How does my trust in God differ from not trusting in God? These elements are important for us to understand and to to have in our mind, or these questions have this importance that draw out and help me to understand what is going on. What is trust? Well, you're giving me a bringing together of a number of definitions. I think it's something you'll see in a moment with that we do know about. We have an idea of what that concept is, but it's sometimes hard to put words to it. To trust something is to rely upon something or someone. It is a feeling of confidence in someone, or the feeling of being safe and secure in something. Trust it. Trust produces a hopefulness or a confident expectation, in contrast to fear, anxiety, insecurity, and helplessness. I think we do know the idea or the concept of trust. It's actually part of a word group. Faith, belief, trust are all part of the same word grouping in the Word of God. And they have the idea. So to have faith means to trust. I am to walk by faith. Means that I am to walk trusting God in my Christian life. If I'm believing something, I'm trusting it. That's what true belief. It's not just an intellectual assent to certain facts. That is an aspect of belief, but really the belief that we're talking about here is a trust in something. I give you several examples. For example, in repentance unto salvation, we transfer our trust from something to Jesus Christ alone. In other words, I don't just add Christ to my life. I am trusting something for my future, trusting my intellect, trusting my good works, trusting some explanation or whatever it may be. And in true belief, I repent from that. I turn from that. My mind changes and I place my trust in Jesus Christ. I place my belief in him. I place my faith in him. All the same word concept of what I have. So that's the idea of trust. We hear words like this and maybe you use different terms. But I've heard it said, I trust my first instinct. I remember back in the days of taking exams in college, always mostly multiple choice. And they would say things like this. They said, if you change your first answer, it's probably wrong. It's like, well, okay, I don't know the statistics behind that, but that's something that they say, your first instinct. Or you might hear someone say, I'm going to trust my gut, my feelings, my intuition. I'm going to trust that. So we know that concept, these kinds of phrases. We sometimes trust a source of something, source of information, source of news, you know, the trusted source. We rely upon that to get our information. We know that sometimes our trust can end up being misplaced. We use that word. Sometimes our trust can be betrayed. And the last one there, just to give you an example of this concept of trust, is that you will hear, especially in with relationships, that this person or that person has trust issues. Right, so what does all that mean? How do I put all that together in the thinking about what the Bible has to say about trust? So the Gospel of Luke, all right, if you want to take your Bible there, the rest probably you're not going to be able to turn fast enough. But in the Gospel of Luke, let me give you this example. As you see on the screen, we can trust someone or something else other than God. So we the Bible will encourage us, not in just the few verses I gave you, but all over the place, to trust in God, to trust in him. If you add the idea of belief and faith to that, it saturates the scriptures. But there's also indication that we can trust other things. I mean, we have that ability, sometimes that misdirection. It's a misplaced trust, but we have that. Luke chapter 18, verse 9, for example, speaking of about Jesus, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." We can trust in ourselves that we are somehow righteous and despise others. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul gives a testimony right before his resume on who he was and how he's brought up and the things that he had done. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh," either more, we can trust in our flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 6, this will be familiar, verse 17 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." All of those would indicate that right actions would indicate that we're not trusting in uncertain riches, but we have that potential within us. Psalm 52 puts it this way, verse 7, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness." So we can trust in our riches. I mean, that's a possibility. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." I think if we're trusting in man, we are really departing from our trust in the Lord, where it ought to be. Jeremiah 7, verse 4, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." That is a contextual understanding in history. But you see that first part, "Trust ye not in lying words." How am I going to know? I'm going to have to saturate my thoughts with the word of God, and I'm going to have to be discerning to understand what is the lying words. But in the religious realm, that's many things. People will present things that are lying words. We can trust in that. Psalm 118, verses 8 to 9. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." I think the idea there would be governments, rulers. I think the idea would be politics. We would be, I understand, we can put our trust in that, and that would be opposite of putting our trust in the Lord. Proverbs 25, verse 19, I kind of got a chuckle out of this one, but you're going to see the truth there. But I love the imagery that you find. Confidence, that would be trust. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let your imagination think on that for a while. Those are not good things. If we put our trust in unfaithful people who have shown and demonstrated that they are unfaithful in their words or their actions or their doings, that's what it's like. Isaiah 31:1, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Once again, it has a historical context to it. But you can see that we can trust in chariots, our armaments. Our strength can be found in those things. Our strength can be in numbers. Ever hear that? We trust in the numbers. The numbers are on our side, and so forth. So we get this idea that we can trust in other things. At the end of Isaiah 31:1, it says, "They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." So if we're trusting in something else, we're not looking to the Lord and we're not seeking after him. These would be the matters that we have to consider. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, that is the idols, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Interesting concept of the idols. Gives a descriptive term of them, how they're not living like the living God. But here it again is in verse 8, that they that make them are like unto them. In other words, they that make these idols in their hearts and their minds, they are just like that. They have eyes and do not see. They have ears and do not hear. They're just like that. And it goes on to say, so is everyone that trusteth in them. I can trust in idols. Idolatry is real. It's a spiritual realm. And it's you say, what is an idol? It's what I trust in. Right, it's in what you know, in opposed to God. It's where's my trust? That becomes my idol. Proverbs 28 verses 25 through 26. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. See, I can trust in my own heart. I can have that as my trust. Sometimes that happens when we don't trust anybody, don't trust anything, including God. We just trust our own thoughts, our own heart. Ezekiel 16, verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty. I can trust in my beauty. Goes on to say, because of thy renown, all right, my own popularity. My own standing in the minds of people. I can trust in that. So you see the scriptures, and that's just a handful of parts of the Word of God that show me where my trust can be other than God, even during the time of trial, but other times as well. How can I discern what or who I am trusting in? Well, let me give you some thoughts. Trials become a great revealer of what I trust and my trust issues with the Lord. Where is my confidence placed? I think in times of trial, we are tested. That's the idea of a trial. It tests us. And then part of that testing is can reveal who we are, what we're trusting in, and so forth. So if we're trusting in riches, then an economic trial will throw us, right? It'll consume us because it reveals what we are. So here's some ideas on that. Where do I look? Where do I turn to first? Where do I turn to continually? And I use the word continually because my mind is, I might seek the Lord. I might pray to the Lord, but then go on and trust other things. So the idea is I need to trust in the Lord in all of these matters in the times of a trial. What determines my choices? Does God, or do you trust something else to guide your choices, to influence your choices? Here's what my thought on this last idea is, what settles the issue for me? Right, that settles it. You've heard the idea that God's word says it. That settles it. Well, is that really true? Right, if is that the case? Is that settled what I'm going to do, or am I trusting in something else to make that determination? What calms, or do I think will calm my fears, my insecurities, and my anxieties? I think it's all related to what I'm trusting in. What evidence can I give that I'm trusting in the Lord? All right, it's the idea. Show me your trust. In the book of James, it says, you have faith, show me your faith. You say you have faith, show me your faith. And we should be able to demonstrate that by our actions that we have. The existence of my trust in God is revealed by, consider these ideas, changing in my thinking, lack of worry. If I'm filled with worry and anxiety, am I really trusting God? I mean, the scriptures would say that that would be only a temporary thing. If I'm really trusting God, he will bring changes in my thinking, changes in my emotions, lack of hopelessness. I may just have this despair and so forth, this joylessness. Where's my trust? It may reveal that's I'm not trusting in the Lord. It'll change my words, my lack of complaint, my lack of grumbling. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. It changes me on the inside, which also changes me on the outside. If that's really where my trust is, changes my actions, concentration on spiritual things and obedience to the Word of God. I think all of this is part of this changes that help me to identify where my trust is. We have to consider the possibility that our trust is not where it should be. One more slide. What evidence can I give that I'm trusting in the Lord? Here's something I've shared before, but the object of my ultimate trust. In other words, I might have to trust other things. I use the word ultimate to find my final trust is in the Lord. That's my ultimate basis to trust. It doesn't mean I don't trust man. I might have to trust doctors. I might have to trust somebody. I might have to trust, you know, man in that sense. But my ultimate trust is in the Lord. He is what I'm trusting in. So how would I know that? Well, my priorities would be established. Where do I turn first? If he's my ultimate trust, that's where I'm going to go. My attention, where do my thoughts go in the midst of trial? Can I really say that I'm trusting the Lord if I'm consumed by other things? Basically consumed by not trusting the Lord. My actions, what am I doing or not doing in the midst of the trial that gives evidence of where my trust is placed? Right? If I'm trusting in the Lord, will I be praying? Will I be seeking him? These are matters that we have. Will I be talking about him? I mean, these are things. If that's where my trust is, I will have not just an inner attitude, but actions to match those. My obedience. Who or what will I ultimately follow? If I'm trusting God, I'm going to follow him, right? Because I'm trusting him. If there's other things that conflict with him, man says this, or someone else says that, or this is some conflicting counsel or advice. Who am I ultimately going to follow? I need to, if I'm trusting God, I'm going to follow him. My gratitude. Who will I thank? Who am I thanking? I think we all of us have this thankfulness to God. My confidence. Who or what ultimately causes my spirit to rest and frees me from anxiety? People will seek to trust in all sorts of matters, but what ultimately brings them that rest? And I think it's the trust in the Lord. That would be the confidence I can have based upon the Word of God. One last verse, probably very familiar to almost all of you, and that is Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Actually, hold on. One more slide, I guess I have there. My trust needs to be in God, who has revealed himself in Scripture. The trust God desires is not a vague trust in spiritual power or positive outcome. It is a trust in definite truth. When I trust in the Lord in the midst of trial, I trust, or I rely upon, who he is. Secondly, I trust, or I rely upon, what he says he will do. And then thirdly, I trust, or I rely upon, his wisdom, his ways of doing things. And now to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Hear that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. So if I'm leaning on my own, if I'm trusting in my own understanding, I'm not trusting in the Lord. Not to lean upon my own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I love that passage. Trust in the Lord. A lot of people claim that as their life verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Wonderful. I'm glad you do that. But let's actually trust in him. So in all our ways, let's acknowledge him. Let's not lean upon our own understanding. We can be misplacing our trust. But let's trust in the Lord with all our heart, and then watch him guide us, direct us in the paths that we ought to go, to straighten out our paths, to make our paths straight. Just a hopefulness for the future and my walk with Christ now. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, indeed, we thank you for the reminder that we can hear you, we can hear your Son Jesus calling unto us. Look at me, flee to me, trust in me. Lord, just challenge us here this evening as to where our trust is, and remind us to trust in you with all our heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.